Hey everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Paul is so adamant. The truth of the gospel matters, and it's personal, and it impacts all of life. And the truth of the gospel is this. We've said it a lot. We'll keep saying it. You are accepted by God through Jesus and not anything else. Look back at verse 6. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. I love that he throws that in. Those I say who seemed influential. And look at these last words. They added nothing to me. Peter, James, and John, they added nothing to me. They actually affirm that this gospel that I've brought to you is the truth, despite what all the false teachers are saying about the gospel that I brought to you. Despite the false teachers telling you that you've got to obey all the Jewish laws. Now, let me talk a little bit more about that because it's important, especially as we continue through our study, and it can be somewhat confusing. And again, some people think what Paul is saying is, it doesn't matter how you live, just believe in Jesus and then do whatever you want. But if you read the New Testament, if you read the writings of Paul, you know that that is not what is articulated. Of course, Paul is for the life change and transformation and sanctification, but he does articulate over and over again that the gospel, what it is that God has done for us through Jesus, that's actually the motivation for the life change and the transformation, as opposed to what some of you grew up around, trying harder to do better. Thinking that God will like you more, love you more. And I promise, I know I said it a couple weeks ago, I promise we unpack this even more in the weeks to come because Paul unpacks it more in Galatians. Because I do think that maybe even for some of you, you might think Paul or us as we talk about Paul, talking to the Galatians, are promoting easy believism. The false teachers were pushing for the Gentile believers to obey the Jewish ceremonial laws, the clean laws, as they are known. That's why circumcision conversation is in the mix. That was a ceremonial clean law. And there were a lot of them. Laws about eating certain foods and wearing certain fabrics and not touching dead things and eating with or hanging out with people who were unclean. And what you might be thinking today is you might be thinking, well, what's the purpose of those laws? And I think that's a great question. There were a couple of reasons for them. Give me a moment if you would. One, these laws showed people in trying to make themselves clean or keep themselves clean, there was actually no way for them to make themselves clean. Just think of all the time that they would spend attempting to be clean. The Old Testament, particularly the Torah, so the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, contains a total of 613 commandments that are traditionally identified by Jewish scholars. And these 613 commandments are often divided into two categories. You got your positive commandments, things that one should do, totaling 248 things. And you got your negative commandments, things that you should not do, totaling 365 things. And out of the 613 commandments, a significant portion is considered ceremonial or ritual laws, which govern aspects of religious practice, such as sacrifices and festivals and dietary restrictions and purity laws and other forms of worship. And after attempting to keep all the laws, think about it. After spending every day, all day, every night, all night, trying to keep all the laws, you still had to have a priest make a blood sacrifice for your sins. After all that, you still have to have atonement. All the work to be clean, still not clean. Still needed a sacrifice to be acceptable to God. And the clean laws drove the point home. You lived in day in and day out with that point being made. You can't be clean. The other thing the clean laws did is they set the Jews apart culturally. It's what separated them from other nations. Hopefully it would keep them from being seduced away from Yahweh to worship idols and foreign gods. And I'm talking all about that to be able to say this. When Jesus came, everything changed. And by that, I mean this. Through what Jesus did in dying for us, we can be made clean in a way that was not possible under the law. And this is all over the New Testament. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it. This is just some passages. Write them down. Study them later. It'll give them a chance for my heart to slow down a little bit because I'm a little out of breath. I feel like I'm out of shape right now. I didn't realize it. How do you know you're out of shape? I preach. That's how I know. All right, here we go. This is what it says in Hebrews 9:9. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the conscience of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. Verse 11, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come, and he has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Look at verse 12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time, underline it if you're an underliner, and secured our redemption forever. Amen. So good, right? I need Mike Hawkins up in here. Hebrews 10, verse 8 says this. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, although they were required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second covenant into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. We'll keep going. Look at verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again. Which what? They can never take away sins. That's trying to be clean, never clean. But our high priest, verse 12 says, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. It's good for all time. And then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Thank you. Or how about this in Colossians 1? It's the last one. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. By the way, if you're in the room, that's you. Separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. If you are a legalist, memorize this scripture. If you're a recovering legalist, Memorize the scripture. If you doubt God's love for you, memorize the scripture. If you think that he only loves you to save you and then you better get your act together or he's going to live disappointed with you, memorize the scripture. If you add anything to Jesus as a requirement for being clean before God, you destroy the freedom found in the perfect sacrifice that is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's so fired up about. He's saying you won't experience the love and the grace and goodness of God. Instead, you'll be a slave of trying harder to do better, and your good enough is never good enough. Or you will never experience how the gospel leads to true life change and transformation from a place of freedom found in being loved and accepted before God through Jesus. Because you are a slave to attempting to change thinking that you will be loved and accepted by God. I'm all for life change. I believe it's what Jesus does. I believe he actually does it from a place of freedom, not from a place of slavery. And if you think you have to do things to earn God's love and acceptance, what we all tend to do is we tend to find the list that we think we can keep. This is what becomes attractive, if I can use that word, about legalism. Remember from a few weeks ago, the Song of the Sirens, right? It's why we get drawn in. If my love and acceptance is based off of what I do, then give me something doable. And it depends on when you grew up in or around the church as to what the list was. I grew up at a time, and this was the list when I was growing up. Maybe you can relate. Want God to love me, want God to like me. So what's the to-do list? Don't go to the movies. Great, I don't even like the movies. That's not a problem. I can do that one. Check. What about movies at home? God says, I'll allow it. It's the actual building itself that's evil. No shorts allowed. We live in the South, and in July, really, God, May through October. I'll allow it, but they've got to be to the knee. What else is on the list? Don't drink alcohol. Don't dance. Definitely don't drink alcohol if it makes you dance. Do that. As we've said, the gospel saves us, and the gospel changes us, and the gospel is what unites us, and that's where I want us to conclude our time today. You see, this is the point I'm trying to make. Circumcision was the cultural issue of the day. And for a lot of us, like, there aren't many people currently saying that you have to be circumcised and obey the law in order to be right with God. But there are other cultural values that it's so easy to put on the mental list for some of us. And sometimes it's not just a mental list. We like to post our list online. What you think or what you have the opinion about. If you really love Jesus, or if you really want Jesus to love you, then you will look like this. You'll think like this. You'll like this. And you won't like that. And you'll participate in this. And you'll not participate in that. And you'll vote like this. Because obviously you wouldn't vote like that. Not as much laughter as the whole movie shorts issue, right? Because every culture has a thing. Satan's not an idiot. I see the t-shirt sometimes, Satan is an idiot. He's not an idiot. What can be the things that we begin to think? Now, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I let you in on a little trick of the trade when it comes to teaching the Bible. This is a one-way conversation, I get it. I'm writing all week and studying and whatnot, and so I try to stop and think, what might they be thinking based off of what it is that I'm saying, right? And this is where I get to the point, where maybe some of you might be thinking something based off of what we said. So listen in. There is no problem with preference and conviction. We all have the freedom for what our preference and convictions are. But we don't have the freedom to elevate our particular cultural style and preferences and make them equal to faith in Christ. Keep listening. And or attempt to gauge other people's faith by our cultural standards and practice. That's what Paul's saying. Because I would think that the Apostle Paul lived out many of the traditions of his Jewish heritage, right? Like out of the convictions he held. But he didn't force those convictions on Greek believers. And in doing so, it was such a big deal. In doing so, he kept the gospel unity that Jesus had given his life to make possible. That's why it's a big deal. You have more in common with someone who lives on the other side of the world if they are a Christ follower than the person who lives right beside you in a similar type house, driving a similar type car, making a similar amount of money, with the same U.S. citizenship that does not know Jesus. The gospel is amazing. Do you really think that everybody here has got the same preferences as you? Even the same convictions. So different. Yet, God in his kindness allows us to come together around one and only one unifying thing. It's Jesus in the gospel. It's the thing he gave his life for. It's the thing he prayed for in John 17. It's the thing that Paul, bring it on, false teachers. I'll fight you over this. He gave his life for it, and we are so quick at times, aren't we? To let things begin to divide us that aren't the thing. You want to reintroduce people to Jesus and the life that he offers? Be unified around the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org, follow us on all social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.